Revealed revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Purport by Srivana Grace Srisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by pure devotee. Vedeshu Yurubam Adurupam Atavato. One cannot attain the perfection of spiritual life simply by following the directions of the Vedas. One has to approach a pure devotee. Anya Vilasa Sanyam Ganakamadhyam Yutam. By the grace of such a devotee, one can understand the absolute truth, Krishna, and one's relationship with him. A materialistic person sometimes thinks that simply by executing pious activities and remaining at home, one can understand the absolute truth. That is denied in this verse. No one can understand the absolute truth simply by observing the rules and regulations of brahmacharya, celibacy. One has to serve the pure devotee. That will help one understand the absolute truth without fail. Essential verses of the Bhagavad Gita, essential teachings, very confidential teaching of all the scriptures, which we speak of. Even confidential understanding within the confidential Bhakti scriptures. So, here, Srila Prabhupada says something very interesting in his purport. He says, actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by pure devotee. So, here, this Jagaraj is explaining to King Rahugana about knowledge of the absolute truth. The Srila Prabhupada says knowledge of transcendental bliss. They're one and the same. It's a nice way to phrase it. The impersonalists, they do not understand. They think that the absolute truth is impersonal, and this concept of relishing transcendental bliss, they deny this factor. That's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in the sixth chapter. You see this verse describing the Patanjali yogi system. And many people who follow the Patanjali yogi system, even if they're meditating upon the super soul, they take themselves to be, their self and the super soul to be one. But there's no exchange of transcendental bliss by the interaction. That it is an impersonal situation. So, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that by practicing yoga, one becomes gradually detached from material concepts. This is the primary characteristic of the yoga principle. And after this, one becomes situated in trance or samadhi, which means that the yogi realizes the super soul through transcendental mind and intelligence, without any misgivings of identifying the self with the super self. Yoga practice is more or less based on the principles of the Patanjali system. Some unauthorized commentators try to identify the individual soul and the super soul, and the minds think this to be liberation, but they do not understand the real purpose of the Patanjali yoga system. There is an actual acceptance of transcendental pleasure, so this is what Prabhupada is saying, this bliss, in the Patanjali system. But the monists do not accept this transcendental pleasure out of fear of jeopardizing the theory of oneness. See? So Prabhupada, in that one sentence, in describing the absolute truth, the supreme knowledge, is making it non-different from the concept of transcendental bliss. So just that statement itself justifies the entire impersonalist philosophy in one sentence. Because they don't accept that. They don't accept it because the Prabhupada says the fear of jeopardizing the theory of oneness with the transcendental bliss through my senses in association by meditating with the Supreme Soul, then perhaps I'm a spiritual person with spiritual senses. The duality of knowledge and knower is not accepted by the non-dualists. So they don't accept it. There's a knower of the absolute truth. It's just the absolute truth. But in this verse, transcendental pleasure, realized through transcendental senses, is accepted. And this is corroborated by Patanjali Muni, the famous component of the yogi system. The great sage declares in the yogi sutras, Purushaka, Sunyanam, Gunanam, Pribhasraha, Tavaryam, Surupa, Patrisa, Bhakti, Sakti, Iti. This Chitti Sakti, or internal potency, is transcendental. Purushaka means material religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and at the end the attempt to become one with the Supreme. This oneness with the Supreme is called kaivalyam by the monks. But according to Patanjali, this kaivalyam is an internal or transcendental potency by which the living entity becomes aware of his constitutional position. In the words of Lord Chaitanya, who we celebrated as a Kumsa yesterday, in the words of Lord Chaitanya, this state of affairs is called Chaito-dhapana-marjanam, or clearance of the impure mirror of the mind. This clearance is actually liberation, or Bhava-maha-dhavagni-nibbana. The theory of Nirvana, also preliminary, corresponds with this principle. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.10.6, this is called Sarupina Vivasati. The Bhagavad Gita also confirms this situation. After Nirvana, or material cessation, there is a manifestation of spiritual activities, or devotional service, to the Lord, known as Krishna consciousness. In the words of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarupina Vivasati, this is the real life of the living entity. So, you know, we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the blissful nectar of the life, you know, immortality. So this maya or illusion is the condition of spiritual contamination by material infection. And liberation from this material affection does not mean destruction of the original eternal position of the living entity. So Patanjali also accepts this by the words kaivalyam svarupena pratishtava chitti shakti iti. This chitti shakti, or transcendental pleasure, coming back to this, you know, bliss, an essential item, is real life. This is confirmed in the Danta Sutra. So again, this, what Patanjali is saying, is in line with the conclusions Śrīla Vyāsa gives of the entire Vedic literatures, and that is Vedanta Sutra 1.1.12, Ananda Mayo Yasat. This natural transcendental pleasure is the ultimate goal of yoga and is easily achieved by the execution of devotional service of Bhakti Yoga. So Prabhupada, just that one line opening his purport with that statement, actual knowledge of transcendental bliss, which is the, and when we swore, in other words, in this verse, we're seeing actual knowledge of transcendental bliss is synonymous with actual knowledge of the absolute truth. There's no question of understanding the absolute truth, because the absolute truth is Sat Chit Ananda. If we understand the Brahman feature, we understand the Sat feature of eternality. If we understand the Chit the feature, we understand the feature of eternality, consciousness. But if we understand Sat Chit Ananda, we understand the full manifestation of the absolute truth, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although one, expands into many to increase unlimitedly the transcendental bliss of spiritual life. That is the actual picture of absolute truth. So then Prabhupada goes on to say, of course, here in this verse it's saying one can only realize that through devotional service. And then in this verse here we're saying one can only realize devotional service, how to practice devotional service and how to attain the goal of devotional service by smearing one's self, entire body, with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, in plural. So, now to get a, and of course, you know, we all have very practical experience of this in the Hare Krishna movement. We also have practical experience of that from over here. So, for instance, we see that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna revealed to Arjuna, because Arjuna was his devotee, he revealed to Arjuna his universal form. And because those in the same disciplic succession, they were also able to see that universal form. So throughout the universe, so their qualification to also see that universal form was because they were somehow linked to the same disciple succession as Arjuna. Otherwise, it would not have been. So, because Krishna, he always likes to glorify his devotees, he revealed himself in the universal form to Arjuna, and therefore others were able to see. In another practical understanding, you see that Krishna agreed to reveal his forms as the Archimurti, the forms of Radha Krishna, all over the world, for Śrīla Prabhupāda. Because Prabhupāda is very devotee. Because he agreed to present those forms all over the world to fulfill the devotional services for the Prabhupada, therefore we can also see those Arjuna Krishna in the world. If they have not been revealed to Prabhupada, you can go to any city in the world, you'll not find Radha Krishna. So, you know what to speak of Gaudiya Mathai, very, very confidential. Srishi Gaudiya Mathai is the pastimes of the Lord, where Krishna reveals the most confidential aspects of transcendental bliss in the spiritual world. So, but also, if we come and look at the deities, we may still not see Radha Krishna. We may see marble or metal. But because Krishna revealed full nature of the Absolute Truth to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada presented that in his purports, then we can also see Krishna through the beauty by studying Prabhupada's books and practicing the teachings of Prabhupada's books. Then when we look at the deities, we can see there is Krishna. Very cool. Otherwise, even the deities are there, still we can't see. That takes divine vision. divine vision is the vision of the pure devotees of the Lord. So, the form of the deity of Krishna. So, of course, the universal form of the Lord is. You know, sometimes Prabhupada describes the Bhagavad Gita as a godless form. You know, it's an unusual term. In other words, you know, when Arjuna is looking at the universal form, he's thinking, where's my friend Krishna? This form is here, where's my friend? The devotees, they're not interested in a display of opulence and majesty. They just want the personality of Krishna to be there so they can love him. So the deity form of the Lord in the temples, like the universal form, is actually manifested by the different material elements, but the feature of the Archimurti is that it is a form which is suitable for developing one's love for the Lord by practice. So the Lord actually, he personally appears in his personal feature within the deity to accept the loving services of the devotee. And still, the full nature of the Absolute Truth, as Prabhupada describes here, or transcendental bliss, is found in the very here. By engaging in the service of the devotee, one realizes the nature of the Absolute Truth. Here, in the translation, an interesting translation of the words is Ijaya, by the great arrangement of worshipping the deity. So, to worship the deity, we can realize the absolute truth. But we can only realize the absolute truth when we worship the deity under the directions of the spiritual master. That's the point. If we worship the deity and don't smear our body with the dust of the guru, the pure devotee, that won't be effective. You can do that. There's some benefit, of course, everything in spiritual life is some benefit. But one may be not able to rise above one's material, the strong material desires to keep one down in this material world. Unless one worships the deity under the guidance of the pure devotee, or in other words, worships the deity and taking the nectarian instructions of the spiritual master and implementing them as a way of smearing the body with the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, then one will see Krishna. If there's a tinge of bhakti in one's karma yoga, sangha yoga, or jnana yoga, one may, not guaranteed, in the little tinge, one may be able to see the universal form. But there has to be some bhakti. There has to be. Krishna will not even reveal the universal form of the Lord to the body, to one, unless there's a tinge of bhakti. Bhakti means that somehow the association of devotees, they've either unknowingly, unwillingly, or knowingly done some of the devotional service. But to understand the Archimurti or the deity form of the Lord, one needs a greater degree of bhakti to understand. But still, the worship of the deities, Prabhupada mentions, is more or less, it's essential for the neophytes. Prabhupada mentions that in the it's a big statement, so I'm going to get some authority. It's a big statement. It's not coming from me. I wouldn't say anything controversial. Let's see. Basically, 11. Bhagavad Gita, text 54 in the third board, describes that if one worships as prescribed in the temple, which means that is a chance to progress by offering worship and respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the beginners in devotional service, temple worship is essential. And this is confirmed in the Vedic literature. So this is the title of Anushad 6.23. Yashyadivri-parabhakti-yitadivri-titavalu Yashyadivri-titavakasanti-mahatmanaha. One who has unflinching devotion for the Supreme Lord and is directed by the spiritual master, in whom he has similar unflinching faith, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead by revelation. So even to worship the deity of the Lord, it must be done under the spiritual master who one has as much implicit faith as in that the deity form is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When both of us get that together, then by revelation one can perceive Supreme Personality, by the Absolute Truth. And it's a process. Again, so not just by eating the truth, but by smearing oneself with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. So, now, verse 9:11, very famous verse, you'll know this one off by heart. Adhijanati mamu dhāma muṣṭhīṁ tanamāśrītāṁ parambhavāṁ vajānāṁ dhokamāṁ vajānāṁ heśvarāṁ. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form, they do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all the three. So of course, all persons who are not directed by the spiritual master and the blissful realizations of the Absolute Truth, about the personality of Godhead in Prabhupada's books, if one does not have that, one will struggle to understand that Krishna himself, that God can be a person. They're going to struggle to get to the personal concept of it. And that if God is a person, he certainly cannot be this little cowboy boy who seems to be this little rascal doing all sorts of mischief in Vrindavan, who's dependent upon Mother Yashoda and running in fear of her. So he's certainly not as Krishna. So then to have a deity of Krishna, well, Krishna's not even God, God's not even a person, and I'm supposed to worship a deity of Krishna, that doesn't make sense. So very, very, very difficult for people to come to that platform, even to the platform of deity worship. But, you know, these days, the simple way to get around that is to just worship anyone and everything and hope amongst that, somewhere amongst that all is God. I worship the Shiva, Indra, you know, this part and that part. Somewhere in amongst all that is sure to be God. Well, God's everything, maybe I'll cover everything, I'll cover God. So we'll pop into the Christian temple, pop into that temple, pop into that temple. Doesn't matter. In the course of a lifetime, somehow or another, we're going to run into God, we're going to do something, and hopefully that's good enough to expand my bank balance. So, so deity worship, you know, has to be done, you know, by smearing one's body with the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotee. Otherwise even that will not be successful, will not be possible. But therefore we see that so Prabhupada mentions that so again, coming back to this concept of understanding the impersonal, the absolute truth as, you know, expanding this transcendental bliss. The one Lord has expanded into many, to expand this transcendental bliss. The absolute truth is not impersonal. So Prabhupada mentions, after revealing this form, right, this two-arm form, his Bharatrupa, then the four-arm form, then gradually the Krishna form. After revealing this form, Krishna, when petitioned by Arjuna, again assumed his original human form, Manusha Rupa. These different features of the Supreme Lord are certainly not those of an ordinary human being. Some of those who deride Krishna and who are infected with the Mayavadi philosophy quote the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-21 to prove that Krishna is just an ordinary man. So the Mayavadis actually quote, dare to quote Bhagavatam, although they have no access to poke their nose in them. Aham sarvasya bhuteshu bhutatma vastita sada. That the Supreme is present in every living entity. So that's there in Bhagavatam. It's there in the Gita as well. The Supreme is present in every living entity. So I think how many verses? 18,000 verses in Srimad Bhagavatam? So they don't matter. There's just this one verse for the Mayavadis. I don't care if it's out of context with the other 18,000 verses, but we've got some. It's like one time, they're so determined. That's why they're my advantage. In person, it's a little different. They don't know they're a little bit more innocent. My advantage is all preaching against person. They're going out of the way. At one time, I was distributing books in the morning in Perth, in 1980. Christian. You know, they also came from persons, you know, these days. Jesus, God, God's Jesus, you know, Holy Ghost, all just mercy and God. They used to have separate identities. But, So anyway, he said, Krishna's a demon. Oh. I said, oh. No. How did you say that? Why did you say that? I seen back the healing. I said, really? The Bhagavad Gita, show me. So I go to the Gita, I show him the Gita, he comes to the 10th canto. Amongst the dates is on Kalah, the devoted Kalah. Right. So again, the 700 verses in the Gita, and his found one to prove the Krishna is there. Anyway, this is a similar thing, but this is what they do. So he says, so that Supreme is present in every living entity. We should better take note of this particular verse from the Vaishnavacharyas. Again, it's near our bodies of the dust of the devotees. Like Jiva Goswami, Vishnu Chakrabarti, the court, instead of following the interpretation of unauthorized persons who deride Krishna, Jiva Goswami, commenting on this verse, says that Krishna, in his plenary expansion as Paramatma, is situated in the moving and non-moving entities as the super soul. So any neophyte devotee who simply gives his attention to the Archimurti, the form of the Supreme Lord in the temple, and does not respect other living entities, is uselessly worshipping the form of the Lord in the temple. That's what it means. Again, you know that point that without following deity worship according to the directions of the spiritual master, it can be a useless attempt. It says here, any neophyte devotee, I'm talking about devotees in some way, who simply gives his attention to the Archimurti, the form of the Supreme Lord in the temple, and does not respect other living entities, is uselessly worshipping the form of the Lord in the temple. So then he describes there are three kinds of devotees of the Lord, and the neophyte is in the lower stage. The neophyte devotee, so as we said, deity worship is essential for the neophyte devotees. So they must worship the deity. It's essential. The neophyte gives more attention to the deity in the temple than to other devotees. So Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti the core warns that this soul of mentality should be corrected. A devotee should see that because Krishna is present in everyone's heart as Paramatma, everybody is the embodiment or the temple of the Supreme Lord. So as one offers respect to the temple of the Lord, he should similarly properly respect each and every body in which the Paramatma dwells. Everyone should therefore be given proper respect and should not be neglected. So the process of deity worship is not that we come and just wave a few lamps, you know, and make the garlands and, you know, offer some money and, you know, some food and so many things. But if we actually want to derive a benefit from deity worship and actually make progress in devotional service, whereby we, by revelation, we understand the absolute truth, which means that we understand that Krishna, Shishirada Krishna, is the manifestation of the absolute truth. We must follow the directions of the devotees as given in the scriptures. And therefore, to elevate oneself from the nearby platform to the second class platform, one has to learn four things. Otherwise, we remain in the nearby. What are those four things? We must practice.
Humility.
A little broader. Exactly, different levels of knowledge. Yeah, different levels of knowledge. But especially knowledge. Because this is all about especially knowledge. Because we want to get the dust of the knowledge. So basically, we have to learn how to work, having faith in the spiritual teachings from the spiritual master, which are non-different from the shastras, and understand that we must accept that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna, and we worship, and he is fully present within the deity form of the Lord. So we worship the Lord with great respect and proper attention according to the deity. Then we must also learn how to associate with the three levels of devotees, or we must serve the pure devotees of the Lord.
Make friendship.
We make friendship with the peers. And of course, you know, there's a few traps in that. Because sometimes we jump up, oh, I'm here with him. The peers. So we've got to recognize, here's my senior load, I'm not there. And what my senior is there. So it takes a bit of practice. A lot of practice. And so recognize and serve the senior load, associate with the peers in a very friendly way, share it, and to look after the innocent or beginning devotees, anyone that may have a little spark like that. That is non-envy. And that is a high level of deity worship. That is deity worship on a high level. Because we've gone from understanding, so yes, Krishna is within the heart. You know, Krishna is there within the deity. He is there. And that same Krishna, as shown by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna showed this universal form. Look in my body, Arjuna, you will see the entire universe within there, the universal form. Arjuna is looking in the form of Krishna, and he can see within the form of Krishna all the universes there. And then he showed his forearm form, the vision, the super soul. And repeatedly Krishna says throughout the year, that super soul, that is me. In my expansion. That form is coming from me, Arjuna. I'm not coming from the vision form. The universal form is within me, Arjuna. I am not coming from the universe. And here is my original form from which everything is coming. So, one who, by worshipping the deity nicely, under the direction of the pure devotees, and in our movement that especially means under Śrīla Prabhupāda, because these deities manifested to Prabhupāda, they're all in his care forever. Doesn't matter, 5,000, 10,000 years, whatever deities manifest, they'll all be manifesting because of Krishna's love for Prabhupada. They worship under his direction, and his direction is very clear in his books, which is the very blissful rendition of the teachings in the Buddha Chaitanya afterward. So, by doing that, one will come to the next level where one will be able to, you know, Krishna will reveal himself. Yes, I can perceive that I must, that Krishna, he is within the heart of the divinity. Because they have forgotten this, they're suffering. And when they remember this, they're joyful, blissful. And the process is therefore to help them to become Krishna conscious. Now we see in this last verse of the 11th chapter again, Krishna says that, and that he says, verse 55, "My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, and who works for me, and who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me." So being friendly to every living being means that if we help them become Krishna conscious, they'll become happy. All the problems solved, no work if you are it. That's right. Don't be more friendly than that. So, and one who takes a risk to do that becomes very dear. Therefore we see, why should the Prabhupada so dear? Because this is the nature of the topmost devotees. This is why they're, you know, they're not topmost because, you know, they've somehow seized that position, you know, like by politics or, you know, corporate maneuvering. They're topmost devotees because they risk everything to serve Krishna and help the conditioned souls to become Krishna conscious. They will go through any difficulty. And whether they're successful or failure or what have they don't care. They will serve Krishna with pure love despite anything. They don't care even that they go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Let me stay here if Krishna wants. I will stay here in this world and preach Krishna consciousness and go through all sorts of difficulty if that makes Krishna happy. It's like the yogis. You know, they offer the dust from, you know, Krishna wanted dust to fix his headache. No one would give it. The devotees wouldn't give. Oh, I will go to hell, I'll suffer. And Narada went to the yogis. Here, buckets of dust. Take. Narada's hand. You know, the evil going down. Don't know, we will happily go to hell if Krishna is happy. And that's why we're so dear. The love is spotless, unconditional. So, those very, very elevated devotees, they know that that's what Krishna wants. They know exactly what Krishna wants. So, therefore, one learns to, you know, one understands to serve the deities. If I, with a little further understanding of what Krishna really wants. Yes, we can come and offer him an apple every day. And, you know what? It's very good. But if we actually see that he's present in the hearts of all living entities, and many are suffering because they've forgotten that, and try to help them, following the, you know, program set out by the pure devotees, then Krishna has very difficult. In fact, in the Gita, he said, if one tries to help people understand the Gita, there is no one more dear to me than that person, nor will they ever be. So that form of deity worship is a higher level. One has to serve the pure devotees. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Kaur puts it like this, that we should serve the pure devotees, the spiritual master, the ultimate adhikari. So those who follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada, fully surrendered, then we're serving them. Literally, we see them as, you know, the completely fulfilling the mission of Srila Prabhupada. We give them the same, you know, respect that we give to Prabhupada in that sense, that they are acting exactly how Prabhupada would act. What Prabhupada would do if he was personally here, those pure devotees in this movement, they're also doing that. And so we 100% of the time serve those pure devotees. In that way, we serve Srila Prabhupada as well, simultaneously. 100% of the time. And yet we've got two other categories to go. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, you serve the Madhyama Adhikaris 66% of the time. Spiritual master. And you serve the Kanishka Adhikaris 33% of the time. So, quite often we see the Kanishka Adhikaris, when they like to serve devotees, they like to serve the Kanishka Adhikari mates. But that's not the process. If they don't serve the pure devotees 100% of the time, they're not actually following the process properly. If 100% of the time is given to Kanishka Adhikaris, associating, hearing from them, offering them, like that, that's not the process. 100% of the time for the pure devotees, 66% of the time we should seek out, you know, we don't always have the association of the pure devotees. Most of them have the association. And that takes most of our days. And we should serve. Madhyamaka Kari means their preachers generally. Generally, they're preaching Krishna consciousness. Wherever they go, they see Krishna and they help people become Krishna conscious. Most of our associations there. But within that, while the devotees are serving, mission of Srila Prabhupada and the Charas, in the association of their peers, preaching Krishna consciousness, then all the conditioned souls, you know, all the innocent people who have an opportunity to take the Krishna consciousness, they're constantly giving so much shelter, helping them to come to the shelter of Krishna consciousness. As described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as the devotees are splashing about in the ocean of nectar, and some of these drops, you know, go here and there like that. And those drops of nectar eliminating all the conditions of it. It's just like yesterday, we had the festival of Gaupaniya. So the devotees, somehow or another, they tune into that festival of Gaupaniya, either in their homes, you know, many devotees have the merchants of Shishiru and Thai in their homes for a picture. And they're also maybe tuning into the local temple. And as they're splashing about in that nectar, some of the innocent people come along to see, oh, what is happening. And that nectar splashes on them. And then, and in that way, they become liberated. So, therefore, as we see, central to deity worship is actually smearing the dust of the devotees all over my body by helping the young devotees, and by executing Srila Prabhupada's mission and helping the young devotees, we're smearing the dust of all the great devotees who want that mission to be done. So by helping the young devotees, we're smearing ourselves in the dust of all the devotees who push on this mission and getting all their blessings, all their chakras. Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, I had this dream once. I was sitting in the kitchen. When I turned to look, there's Prabhupada, and then there was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Gokusha Dasbhavi, Bhaktivinoda Kaur and Gokusha Dasbhavi. I was looking and thinking, oh, you know, they're all very happy, you know, that I'm doing some little service like that, and it's a distraction. But all of you know, Vishnu Chakravarti the Kaur, Narottam Das the Kaur, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhavendra Puri, you know, Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Vaishnachara, Gadadha, Srinivasachara, all of them. One time Prabhupada said, you know, you go out and sing the time, and so one day you turn around there to go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this, you know, you'll meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll understand. You know, you're preaching Krishna, you're trying to serve the deity by preaching Krishna consciousness. You will definitely feel the presence of the personality of Godhead directly with you. Directly to you. You'll understand. What just happened, that happened because Krishna's here. Right. Otherwise, how is that? That's beyond the laws of, you know, anything. The only way that particular thing happened in my life is because Krishna is personally present. Krishna is perceived by revelation. Revelation that even, as mentioned in the Gita also, when Krishna was personally present, Prabhupada says there's only a few who actually understood it. Here's the Supreme Person of God. They're looking at Krishna, right in front of them, so many. And there's a few answer. Oh, it's Krishna. This is the Supreme Person of God. So they're looking directly at him. Srila Prabhupada, you know, the preacher, and Srila Prabhupada, they understand Krishna, you know, he's saying, Krishna's writing these books. He, you know, he's making me write in this particular way. Krishna is here, he's writing it. Every page, Prabhupada, feeling Krishna. One time, someone went to Prabhupada's room late at night, they saw the lights were on, there was this glow coming. They peered in the door, and streams of tears are just coming out of Srila Prabhupada's eyes, as is, you know, over the books, and there's every page. Prabhupada said these books are his ecstasy, because in every page Krishna is manifest there and by revelation. So and of course then if we follow those practices of being very careful how we deal with devotees. Therefore, you know, on the festival days, we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but one of the main things we do is smear our bodies with the dust of the pure devotees. If we really want to enter into, you know, we've come to the temple of Shishi Gaurantai, Radha Krishna, we want to, you know, feel the presence of the deity within our lives, you smear your body with the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. Otherwise, if our behaviour with the devotees is very rough, whether they be a neophyte that we should have actually helped in Krishna consciousness and we disturbed, then we're very proud, or our peers, instead of sharing and cooperating in a friendly mood with there's some, let's say, envious competition going on, which is destructive to one's service, or we are neglectfully not even willing to hear the words of some of our senior devotees because we're so proud that we feel that, oh no, you know, I'm either your peer or I'm your senior, and I will not hear you. Whatever, so many mistakes. If our behavior is like that, and we did it, and then we're so proud, yes, like a near fire that waves from lambs and pigeons and cows. Of course, so much trouble with the devotees that wander around. Then the deity is not very happy with that. That is, you know, presented there, and the deity is not very happy. They're very, you know, they'll accept your service, they're very kind. But if we think that from that type of service, the full revelation of the presence of the personality of Godhead is going to manifest blissfully and ecstatic in their life, one is completely wrong. That won't happen. Then, by following that, we come to the level of the Ujjama Adhikari. And the Ujjama Adhikari, of course, by their offenses, service to the distribution of the whole name of the Lord, where they are beyond the critical mentality and offensive behavior to the Lord or the deity or the devotees, because they are able to chant the whole name of the Lord purely, then the potency of the holy name, the holy name has unlimited potencies, and the potency of the holy name completely takes over and fully takes charge of that devotee's life under the protection of the spiritual energy, whereby they always perceive the presence of the Lord, they're always getting this buddhi yoga or inspiration from within the heart, exactly what to do, exactly what not to do, exactly how to treat this devotee, you know, from all different levels, exactly what to say, to be able to see the presence of the Lord and His direction in the sphere of all of one's activities. So that the pure devotees, they come, they also worship the deity, but when they walk out the door and walk out onto the streets, that the deities that are in the temple, they're seeing in everyone's heart, and they're behaving the same way as they were in the temple. Not that we walk from the temple room even down to the kitchen, and by the time we get in the kitchen, our interactions are completely different with the devotees than what they are here. What to speak, we haven't even got out the street. So, these are the different levels. So therefore, this is why it says that the absolute truth is only revealed to one who is attained personally. I'll leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments on this. Good.
So, thank you very much for a nice class. My question is about deity worship. What is the scope of deity worship in the temple? Is it just from the altar? Everything we do, which is connected to deities, obviously. But then, what kind of mindset we have to be absorbed in doing services, even though we are clearing the pins over there?
Yeah, good question. So, what is the scope of deity worship in the temple? So, there are 64 items of deity worship. And, you know, those different items of deity worship include, say, the four regular principles. No eating meat, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. So that from morning to night, we're practicing that. Then we are keeping yourself in a purified state, that whatever we are going to do for deity worship, such as cleansing the floor, painting, cooking, you know, is offering with the basic principles of purity as given by Srila Prabhupada. So, in other words, for instance, if a devotee who has full faith in Srila Prabhupada and follows the four Rita principles and chants 16 nice rounds without offense and comes and cleans the toilets, and you compare that to the devotee who may be worshipping the deity in the deity room, who's not following the four Rita principles, who's offensive to devotees, that person cleaning the toilets is doing a high standard of deity worship. And, you know, it's unfortunate, I have seen that. I've known devotees that because they stopped the hearing and chanting process with devotees, with Prabhupada's books, that, and Prabhupada mentions this again and again in his books, the deity worship become like a stone, heavy stone burden around their neck. And that told me personally, not here, told me personally, I hate to go into the deity room. It's like, you know, literally, it was just a terrible thing because that process of hearing and chanting disappeared. The ability, therefore, to follow the written principles disappeared. They're worshipping the deity and getting so much respect from the whole community. But they told me personally, I am healing. And you get some devotee, not even looking at them, following the principles nicely, nice behavioral devotee, no one cares about them. But they're actually better situated. And those devotees are still here. And that Pajari and others I've seen like that disappeared. So, yes, deity worship is not just getting into that, you know, having a deity room and being seen by the community, doing those, you know, few opportune services, deity worship. You know, deity worship can be done, you know, anywhere. The deity worship means that if you come into the temple, or say you couldn't even get to the temple, but you remember how when you came to the temple a couple of days ago when you could, and you remembering those deities in your heart, and never forget those deities, so rather every time I'm doing something, I can't stop thinking of the beautiful form of Rupa Dhala, they're doing deity worship by remembering them. Actually, all the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness are to serve two rules. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. If we, you know, if we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're not even thinking of the mantra or hearing it, or we're worshipping the deity and as soon as we leave the temple, we just forget them until the next time we come to the temple. It's a, you know, that standard of deity worship. It may attract a lot of praise, but it's not, especially in a big crowd, but actually a higher standard of deity worship is a devotee who may have even less contact with the deities by Srila Prabhupada. But, you know, he left Vrindavan to go to the West, but he never ever forgot Radha Krishna for a moment. That means he was never out of the presence of Radha Krishna in Vrindavan, even when he went to America. The deity, this Prabhupada said, this temple in Melbourne, I think it was in Vrindavan, he says, don't think you're in Melbourne, you're in Melbourne. In the temple there, don't think you're in Melbourne. You're in Vrindavan if you're in that consciousness. Which means that you can be in the temple and still be null and conscious. Mm-hmm. Or you can be in the temple and be in Krishna consciousness. You can be out of the temple and be in Radha Vallabha Melbourne temple consciousness, which is not different from being in the temple. Or you can be in mind. Prabhupada was in the village of New York, but he was in Vrindavan, never left it. So, you know, these are, you know, this, as Krishna's form, although he appears like an ordinary person, that form of Krishna is all pervading. It's the absolute truth. It's everywhere, within, without. The Dharma of the Lord, including the temples, they're non-different from Krishna. They're all pervading on the spiritual platform. They're not limited by time and space. Does that mean because Radha and Krishna are in this temple room and we've got them locked up, that when we walk out, only the people in this room are with Radha and Krishna? And then with Radha Vallabha, and then if Radha Vallabha are not confined in this room and we're outside, they can be with us, and then Radha Vallabha are with us. In fact, therefore, a devotee sees the Lord within the heart of every living entity. In the Gita, Prabhupada mentions, when a devotee looks and sees the super soul in the heart of every living entity, he sees Krishna. We know that in every living entity that Krishna appears as the form of Vishnu. But when we look, we don't see Vishnu because we can only think of Krishna, we just see Krishna. And we see Radha Vallabha. And you see the Hanuman with that shirt, like that, opening up his heart. There is that. Is it a vision? No, it's Rama. So if Radha Vallabha was in the heart, then what's the question of you know, not being able to do deity worship? Sure. But again, these revelations are all in Prabhupada's books. If we smear our body with the dust of, you know, just a bit of dust from these books, Prabhupada's nectar, smear our body, our hearts, our minds with that, then all those revelations will be there by Prabhupada's consciousness. Okay? Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna.